We're all passionate about being successful on our YouTube channel, so we tend to follow lots of gurus on social media, we download their PDFs, we watch their videos. But what happens if we do absolutely everything they tell us and yet we're still not successful, we're still not getting views, we're still not getting subscribers, and now we're upset? Well, that's exactly what today's episode of Tube Talk is all about. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So this is a question that we hear often. People say to us in our live streams all the time, look, I'm doing everything you've told me, but I'm still not winning. I'm still not able to grow my channel. What am I doing wrong? And this is a question that I pose to the vidIQ crew. We've got Rob Wilson, who is our YouTube resident creator. We've got Dan Carlson, who's our gaming master and channel auditor and fellow butcherer of names, which I think is his official title. Hello, gents. Welcome to Tube Talk Live.
By the way, welcome to another vidIQ live stream. Looking forward to an interesting topic that we are asked about a lot all of the time.
Dan, welcoming words from you.
Oh, hey. Can't wait to butcher your names.
Okay, I think we're off to a roaring start today. All right, so guys, today's topic is something that we've all seen time and time again. You guys do the channel audits on a Tuesday. I do a webinar on a Wednesday. And ultimately, we will notice somebody in chat saying, look, guys, I've done every single thing that the experts are telling me to do, but nothing happened. I'm using the tools. I'm using the advice, but it's still flatlining. Basically, I think they're accusing us of keeping some secrets and we're just growing our channels massively, but we're just not giving them the information. What say thee to the charges as laid before you? Rob, how do we kick this one off?
Okay, so we create a lot of videos and we have done for many years at this point. So we have, at this point, hundreds of educational pieces of content on YouTube. And what tends to happen with this is we'll get a comment in the YouTube video, or especially DMs, where somebody will almost want to have like a private confession with us and say, I've done everything you've told me and I'm still not growing. And what we generally all tend to find out here is that we'll see this message from this person and we'll go have a look at their channel. And within maybe 10 seconds, we'll look at it and say, no, you haven't done everything we've suggested. And that usually will be something along the lines of good thumbnails, which is always most evident when somebody isn't really paying attention to what we suggest or any other educator suggests. Or they've been on YouTube for maybe 2 weeks or a month and they already expect to have 1,000 subscribers and hundreds of views on every single video. And so I think that's where I'm going to kick off this topic, whereby people say they've done everything. They clearly haven't, or they haven't got the patience to start a YouTube channel. Yep. And they're just expecting everything to happen within the first, 10 days or something.
So are you saying that it's a timing thing? It's more of the quantity of videos. I've just gotten started. People expect this thing to be a formula. I've done this, therefore this should happen. But it does take a bit of time for this to kick in. Dan, what are you seeing when you do the channel audits?
I see, and in particular, we talk about me, Dan, this is a gaming channel. What do you in particular think about it? And what I end up seeing a lot is that the gaming channels especially seem to be making content that inspired them to start originally. What I mean by that is the people that they watch the most make these videos that don't take, at least in terms of titles and everything, don't take a lot of effort. It could be a Minecraft video and the title could be three words like, or, oh no, I died. It's just something really small and simple. But they have millions of subscribers and they get millions of views no matter what they do because they've earned that. They've grown to that level. They don't really have to worry. Their strategy is totally different now. They don't have to worry about ranking as right. hard because they're already just so massive. And so you'll see people make these mistakes where they make these titles that don't really get them discovered. They have thumbnails that you know, sometimes they don't even bother using thumbnails, or sometimes they just, they try too hard to make the thumbnail have too much going on and it's really busy. And it's this mentality of like, oh, my favorite YouTubers are doing it this way, it must be that easy, I will mimic that. But what gets lost is that it's different at every level. You have to approach YouTube from a different angle depending on how big your channel is already.
All right. So I think we're essentially starting off right out the gate with two important topics. We're talking about timing, and we're talking about being a copy of a big creator. So let's kind of dissect each one of them just to really get us going. Let's talk timing. Is there a minimum time required, or do we see channels just blowing up from day one? Is there a golden formula? You need to put X number of videos in Y number of time. I don't know if that's a thing. And therefore, algorithm will kick in and will start ranking you, or are channels so different? Let's talk timing. What does that mean, guys?
Well, let's pose a question back to ourselves. So, Liron, briefly, like, you've had a channel now on YouTube, what, coming up to 5 years, 5+ years, that type of time range? Mm-hmm. How long do you think it took you to start making a breakthrough with your content? Not necessarily where you are now. It's just right. Like, oh, I think I'm finally getting some traction here. Or what was the time for you?
Oh, overnight, obviously. I mean, come on. clearly. No. So I think it took a good year and a bit doing lots of experimentation, really trying to understand my audience, really not knowing what I'm doing, to be frank. And it's very different when you do it for yourself.
And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? There's nothing wrong with not knowing what to do.
And that's exactly the whole thing of listening to the experts. I was so busy listening to all the experts, trying to do absolutely everything anybody would actually say, that it was actually working against me. What I realized is that listen to everyone, but then you got to know how to apply it to your own channel. So for me, it took about a year and a bit to really start homing in and experimenting and really trying to double down on the content that I was making, niching it down, really understanding. And then the magic started to happen for me.
And what about you, Dan?
I had a really, really bumpy start when I started YouTube. Honestly, I've had my channel for coming on like 9 years, and I started out, I was young and naive, and I was doing the thing I just said that everyone else does when they start out, that I've noticed, is that I was making content that was inspired by the people I was watching who had 100,000 subscribers, million subscribers, all that. And I couldn't figure out why it wasn't growing. And then I was, because it was mainly Minecraft was what I was playing, I was obsessed with not only trying to figure out ways to promote my content outside of YouTube, because everyone I talked to made it sound so hard to like get ranked anyway. You might as well post it in other spots. So I became fixated on posting my content outside the platform. Didn't really do a whole lot for me. There was one area where it was successful. While they had there was a website I used that had a very active forum and a place where you could post your Minecraft videos. Eventually they got rid of it and I felt completely lost, deflated. And then before I knew it, it was time to go to college, and I kind of put my channel to the side. And only, I would say only in like the last 5 years or so have I really taken to understand YouTube, maybe even in less time than that. And like have actually seen success and traction because I've taken the time to, you know, read about what I'm supposed to be doing, watch videos from experts, and kind of apply it to my tiny channel, you know, and let it grow the way it was always supposed to, rather than just trying to force it, trying to go wherever I could. Like, someone's got to watch my videos. I'm making videos just as good as these other guys. What the heck's going on? And I wasn't realizing that no one knew I was making those videos because they weren't getting discovered in the first place. They could have been the best Minecraft videos ever. Nobody knew because no one was finding them or clicking on them because I didn't know what I was doing.
And then a quick follow-up question then, Dan. So you say it took literally years to get your own channel off the ground, but you joined vidIQ in like end of last year. How long did it take you to start to crack video content on our channel? Because I think that's an interesting answer that you're probably going to tell us about here.
I think that, I mean, you guys kind of set me up for success, though. Right. It's a little bit different because obviously vidIQ has an audience of people who want gaming content. And so you came to me and said, hey, do you want to make this video, you know, grow your gaming channel? We have a couple that did pretty well. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. So, you know, I was already deep into kind of learning about how to even properly title and describe and tag a video and what thumbnails get clicks. That part I was already doing before vidIQ. I just applied what I learned to that video. And I think with a mix of having this platform, which is already so big, and knowing what I'm doing, I think that video just, you know, naturally did, you know, as well as it did.
Yeah. So to give a bit of background, I think the first video you did on the channel was how to start a gaming channel in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's now got 750,000 views. And that was your first video on the channel. So it's, I think it's interesting for creators to understand here that there is a learning process at YouTube where, by all means, make as many mistakes as you want and make as many videos as possible to gain that experience. But then once you've got an experience, the traction from really getting started can be a lot shorter. I'm not telling everybody to start a second channel, but you're going to be gaining a lot of experience when you first go on YouTube. To answer the question that I posed, so I started my channel, I think, in 20. I started taking it seriously in 2010. And I think it took me around about 6 months to realize probably the most important thing was that when you make a video that's on a particular topic and the audience have enjoyed that video, they want to see more of that from you. Rather than going through all of these different bits of tech, I started to focus on like one piece of tech. And that's when I started to understand the idea of niching down. And that's where my traction began. But it still took 6 months to a year, and then to get to up to 100,000 subscribers on that first channel, I think it took 5 years. So I think the communication and what we're saying, it's fantastic that you're on YouTube, but you really do have to have a patient mindset to really get your channel going. And you'll find that as you go along, you're putting in the same amount of time, effort and resources, but you're getting more back. And I always call this like a YouTube bank, where you're depositing all of this information into the bank, and YouTube is going to pay out on your channel at some point. You're just never quite sure when. And I think Leron's a perfect example of this, where he was really trying to crack a nut for a long time, and he had these videos that were on YouTube, and they were almost like mothballed or dormant, weren't they, Leron, about how to get a faster internet speed on Wi-Fi. And then all of a sudden it just all ballooned, and then you really started to get the traction from those videos.
But then the danger is now you're almost locked into making that content.
True.
So the one thing that I have learned from this experience is, yes, you have to double down. Yes, you have to have your niche. Yes, you have to really make content within that, with a big asterisk, with a big caveat, that at a certain point, you're either going to get burnt out, or you're going to get bored, or you're going to run out of ideas if you pigeon yourself so deep within that channel that you're only doing one thing. So what I have to do now is kind of pivot away from that core, but not so far away that it's so weird to my audience. So if I started doing travel vlogs now, it's so weird away from my technology content that my audience is not going to dig it. But if I kind of stay within my lane and just pivot left and right a little bit, I'm trying that now, and that seems to be working fine. But going back to your point, it just takes time. And I think a lot of us are so invested in making our content, and as we upload, we're refreshing that screen, that analytics screens the entire time, and we're watching those views come in or not come in. And that really is a sinking feeling if you're not getting the traction that you wanted. And what do we do, guys? Is our advice when it comes to time, do we upload the content, walk away from it as hard as it is, and then go back and do some learnings from the content that we have whilst kind of deciding on our next video? Should we be, is that good advice? Or should we be taking like each one of those as kind of almost a left punch and a right punch and really take it to heart because we want to get better for our next one?
Let me go first on this one, Dan, before I forget what I'm going to say. In the first 6 months, and this is my personal opinion, in the first 6 months of being a content creator, you should have absolutely no expectations about your channel, whether there be views or subscribers. Now, I say this because it comes from a passion of creating content. I love making videos. Even if nobody was watching them, I would still do it because it's something that I really enjoy doing, especially the editing process. So my advice would be make 20, 50, 100 videos on YouTube before you even start to really look at the analytics. Obviously, you want some traction on your channel, and you'll probably be getting a little bit of that. But until you have enough experience of uploading, gaining editing experience, that type of thing, the actual content creation, I wouldn't worry too much about, like, am I getting more subscribers if I do this? Or, like, what's my average view duration? I just always feel as if experience is so key, because you have to be in this in the long run, in that you've got to enjoy what you're doing when you first start on YouTube to enjoy doing it 5 or 10 years down the road when you're trying to turn it into maybe a sustainable business, unless you're going to outsource the things that you don't necessarily enjoy doing. So, yeah, that's my advice, is to enjoy the process before the rewards.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, I think that it's YouTube is a skill like everything else that we have. Yeah, and let's be honest, when you start anything, you're going to suck at it. It's going to be terrible at the beginning. But the more you do, the better you get. So people who are so hard on themselves right at the beginning, those are the people who typically don't have the stamina to go the distance. And it is, you know, to use an old cliche, it is a marathon, not a sprint. I think I got that in the right order. It is a marathon, not a sprint. It's going to take time. So if you go into this with eyes wide open, and you know that it's going to take time, you know that it's going to be terrible at the beginning, but it's going to get easier and easier and easier the more that you do, well, that's going to help you be more and more successful. And use those learning opportunities to just develop the skills that you just don't have. I am a terrible graphic designer. I mean, I'm terrible, hate it, every second of it. But I forced myself to get better at Photoshop, forced myself to use some of those technologies that are out there, some of those websites, just because I know thumbnails are so critical. And I use that time to learn. I use that time to learn about my show formula. What's a good hook? What's a terrible hook? How do I keep the audience engaged for longer? I don't want to do that on a big channel. Like if I took the vidIQ channel and started experimenting with that at 600 odd thousand subscribers, well, Rob's not going to be too happy because I'm experimenting on a huge channel that's already got a direction. The big advantage that people have by just starting out or having small channels is you do have that freedom. And my advice is don't be afraid to experiment until you find where your passion, where your skills, and your audience all lines up beautifully, and that's when the magic really starts to happen. Dan's just nodding away, saying, "Here."
I was waiting to see if I'm just like so focused on everything you're saying. So I think for me it was going back to what I was saying before. I was so fixated on like what all these people were doing that I was following, and it wasn't a lot. How much time do you really have in a day to watch all these different content creators? And I would come back to my channel. I would try to mimic what they were doing, not see success, get frustrated. And the one big regret I have, I'll frame it this way. The big regret I have is not being more open to doing research and figuring out who are the other people in the space that I'm not watching? Who are the people that are closer to my size or maybe at the first rung on the ladder per se? Like, so if I have zero subscribers, my first rung is 100. That's my first goal. What are the current like 100 subscriber channels doing? And then what are the 500 subscriber channels doing? What are the 1000 subscriber channels doing? Because that'll all be more accurate to my journey rather than watching the million subscriber guy who isn't even trying. As far as I was concerned, anything they would post would get views. I wasn't even worried about the niche. I expected them to play Minecraft because that's what I was watching. But I never even wondered if they go out and do travel vlogs one day, they'll probably get views on that too, because they just have so many viewers that love them already. And that wasn't true either. So like all of my, I just basically convinced myself of how YouTube works. And I really regret not taking more time at the beginning to really learn how the platform works and study it from a different perspective. Because my, like I said, I was only studying like one or two big creators. And by study, I mean just watching their content. And I wasn't really being objective at all.
Oh, so good segue into the second topic, which is copying the big creators. You know, we've seen a lot of this happen where we look up to certain creators. They've got these amazing channels. We want to be like them, obviously. And we're just so focused on what we're doing and what they're doing. And we just seem to be copying them. You know, people like a Casey Neistat is a good example. He could launch a video with a semicolon as his title and get 1 million views. But I'm willing to bet that most of us who launch a video with a semicolon as a title, probably not going to do so well. So is there a danger? And maybe this is where listening to the experts kind of ties back into our topic. We look at these big content creators, they're doing none of the experts' advice. So therefore, me as a smaller creator, why should I listen to these experts? What do you guys think?
I think that there is, in some people, I don't want to say this is everybody, but I think there's a tendency to kind of feel like, you know, by watching, kind of going back to my whole thing again, like why, like by watching these bigger creators, I already know. I don't need these experts' help. I see how to make a YouTube video. I understand how to upload. I know how to edit. Like, you know, I got this. And it's doing homework. That's what it is. Having to go and like watch people explain to you the thing you think you already know how to do is homework. And to someone who's maybe even a younger creator, that's like, I want to play games on the internet. I've seen people make money doing that. That's going to be my job. That's my goal in life. I don't have time to do homework. I got enough for that from school. So no, like I know what I'm doing. So it just, you know, kind of feeds into what I was saying before, that regret of like not, you know, being more open to doing that when I was younger. I was just like, now videos, I can make videos. I'm going to school for it. Videos, easy. And everything else was just
a thing,
a thing I had to do. I don't got time for this.
But Robin, who do you copy as your big famous influencer that you want to be exactly like?
MKBHD. Like,
oh yes.
You see, the thing about him is that not only does he create really, really high quality value videos in terms of like reviewing products and things, which is I think what I first wanted to do on YouTube, but, and I think this is what a lot of people don't have to begin with, and sometimes we'll never really have this, and it's like the it factor or the X factor of personality and being magnetic and really personable on camera. I still to this day, this is something that I really struggle with in terms of, I don't feel as if I'm necessarily that personable or like I'm terrible in front of camera or I'm not that good a storyteller. And I think those are things that a lot of people have to spend a lot of time crafting and perfecting, and it can take years to do that. Whereas I think certain people who go onto YouTube, they just have that from the very beginning. And those people who have that ability, I think, can start to do whatever content that they want. And I think eventually it'll start to break through on YouTube. Dan actually did a really interesting poll on our community tab a couple of days ago where he asked viewers what type of content do they like to watch. And the majority was Let's Play. And so that means we believe that people are watching big creators who do these Let's Play videos and can really enjoy them, because again it's tied I think into somebody's personality and how they interpret some content. But unfortunately, when a new creator starts down that same path, there's always that thing that they're lacking, which is I guess social proof. Like a viewer seeing a channel with hardly any subscribers, hardly any views, doing the same Let's Play content as a channel with 10 million subscribers. And the viewer might be asking in their head, why should I watch your content? I don't care about you. You have nothing of value to me that this Jacksepticeye or PewDiePie is already delivering. And so I think this is why Dan and I tend to gravitate towards this idea of giving something of value in the content itself, per se, like a tutorial or an educational thing where maybe somebody might wanting to get an answer to a question first. And then within that content, you can inject your personality and that type of thing. So I think, yeah, certainly trying to just imitate and copy the big creators where you may be trying to copy that personality or that humor or that style is just something that is so, so hard to do. And I think for a lot of creators, takes a long time to craft over period of time, like I say, with the experience that you gain from making a channel.
Look, and to add on to that, a lot of those things actually self-imposed. When you say I'm not good on camera, I wonder how much of that is self-doubt. I wonder how much of that is just you not just being comfortable yet, and therefore you double thinking and overthinking. You know, if you believe you're not good enough, then you're not. If you believe that you're not, you know, the ideal body shape, body type, skin color, religion, whatever it is, those are self-imposed stuff. We've seen a lot of people who have those doubts, and then we look through their comments and people love them, but they're just not able to see it. And I think once you see it and once you understand that, hold on a second, I'm not making a fool of myself. I'm enjoying the content. I have an audience. Doesn't matter how big or small that audience, there is an audience that's willing to invest time in you, in your content. I think something that unlocks in your brain to say, you know what? I'm actually going to give this a real go.
One question I kind of want to pose to the community right now is that if you're a new channel, let's say you got less than 10 subscribers, or you've been on YouTube for like a couple of weeks or months, what is your goal right now on YouTube? And I think for a lot of people, it's usually to monetize my channel or to start making money from my content. Mm. That seems to be the first big goal. And with that comes 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. And I think what a lot of creators don't realize when they first start a channel is that that's actually pretty hard to achieve.
Yes.
I mean, like 99% of creators will never achieve that. And I think having that lofty goal and reaching a very specific number that's far off in the distance, that can have a real impact on how you think you're progressing. Let's say a channel like 1 week is making videos and they get 25 views. And then the next week, the same type of videos are getting like 50 views or 75 views. And they think they're not growing or they're not making enough progression. And they're kind of not realizing that, hey, you've just doubled the size of your view counts over that short period of time. So I want people to have more attainable short-term goals, which they can step up to gradually. And then by the time they're at maybe 400 subscribers and they're getting 200 or 300 views a day, they'll start to realize that they are picking up momentum and they're going to reach that goal faster than they think, as opposed to thinking that they're never going to reach their goal because they're getting 10 views a day or one subscriber a week, that type of thing.
Completely agree. I think the big mistakes that we do is we watch the social media, we watch the press, we see those unicorn channels with one video getting 1 million views or 1 million subscribers, and we think that's the norm. And that's not the norm. That is such a small, tiny fraction of a tiny percentage that happens on YouTube. Most people have to work for many, many years to achieve that. But the big thing is, if you set your goal when you're just starting out to get to 1 million subscribers, you're easily going to get kind of despondent because it's such a far off goal. I always believe you got to go to the first horizon. And when you get there, you'll see the next horizon and then you take the next horizon. Dan, do you also break down your goals and milestones, or do you go for, look, by the end of this year, I want to hit X?
I used to do that. I used to be very fixated on those larger goals. Like Rob was saying, like 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. Like, yeah, I'm there, you know, and I started this journey before that was even a thing, but 1,000 subscribers was still something I was just fixated on at less than 100. And what you forget is all those people who've subscribed to you already are real people who enjoyed your content. So imagine that room of 30 people, your first 30 subscribers, a classroom full of people. Have you ever gotten up in front of a classroom full of people to make a presentation? I'm sure a lot of us have. Yeah. Like that's a lot of people. That's a lot of heads in the room. So, you know, that was it. Today, though, like I'm more focused on just testing out different things. Like I'm still playing around with my channel. I'm trying to do things with my channel I never did before, where I do like these super niche things, and then I try and rank for them. I see how they do, and then I kind of double down on them. And I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot because with gaming channels and stuff, I've always kind of had my channel and I've kind of done different things with it, but as I make these vidIQ videos about trying to help other gaming channels, I realize like there's a lot of things I still haven't tried. There's a lot of things I still haven't tested. And, you know, I love making videos. I make videos for vidIQ all day. And then in my free time, I'm making videos for myself on my channel just to learn more about it, to test different things. And right now the goals are very, very, like that horizon is very close. You know, the goal is, can I make a video about a subject and get it to 1,000 views?
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Can I do it again? Oh, that one got 200 or not 200. That one got 2,000 views. That's cool. Let me try again. It got 200 views. What the heck happened? You know, and that's literally the pattern. One video got over 1,000. One video got over 2,000. The next one got 200 something, and it's been very slow. And I'm learning so much from just creating a goal based on the next video I'm going to make, rather than worrying about some far off number that's, you know, completely irrelevant.
So, chaps, I think so far we've been talking a little subjectively, that our views a little bit, our experience, wisdom, you might call it. But let's have a look at this a little more objectively now, in that what can't lie and what's always going to tell you the truth or fact, and that is analytics. If you don't want to pay attention to what we're actually suggesting, then the one thing that's going to tell you why your channel isn't doing as well as you might think are the analytics. So I was just wondering, Dan, Leron, myself, like, very briefly, what analytics would we be looking at to see where we might be going wrong on our channel?
Okay, I'll take the first stab at
this.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The one I look at religiously, for lack of a better word, is my retention and watch time. That is the one thing I study completely. I want to understand, why are people leaving a video? And are they leaving right at the beginning? In which case, my hook was terrible. I didn't entice them enough. Are they leaving in the middle? In which case, my content's not good enough. They didn't enjoy the content. Or are they dropping off towards the end? In which case, I didn't do a good enough job telling them about my next video or sending them to another video on my channel. When I study that analytics on every single video, those are the clues that I need to make my next video better. By cutting down the intro, by getting to the point, by removing the logos and the funny, the great animation that I spend time creating. Nobody cares about that on my channel. And that's why each channel is going to be different. But on my channel, nobody cared about that. I removed it and instantly I saw a lovely big kind of push in the views and a lovely push in the subscribers. That is the big thing, going back to our topic of listening to the experts. Remember, on my channel, my intro and all that was terrible. So I had to make a change. How does that apply to your channel? That is why I love the question, Rob. I focus on the analytics of watch time and retention. And that's made a world of a difference for me.
It's interesting because you focus on retention and watch time, things like that. With my channel right now, because I'm doing testing and I'm basically reviving it. Your channel's a lot bigger than mine. I'm sitting at about 17,000 subscribers right now. And it was basically a dead channel. So I've been doing things to try and revive it. And what I've been looking at is my impressions and my click-through rate rather than retention and everything else, because my biggest challenge has been, like I said, getting my videos seen in the first place. So I'm not going to have any retention graphs to look at if my video doesn't get any impressions or click-through in the first place. Impressions tell me that my title and everything is ranking the video or it's not. The click-through rate tells me if my thumbnail is any good. And those are the first metrics I've been looking at. And now as my videos are starting to get from the hundreds of views to the thousands of views, I am paying more attention to those other analytics, the retention. Now I want people to watch them, because if people drop too early, YouTube takes that as a sign that I'm going to give this video less impressions. This is not going to be seen as much because people aren't getting what they were promised. They dropped really early. So I do care about those things, but I think the first step for a smaller channel or a channel like mine trying to like revitalize itself is going to be, is your content getting seen in the first place? And if it's not, you need to keep testing different titles and different thumbnails and trying different things. Because like I said earlier, if you're like so angry, I just spent 4 hours editing this gameplay video. I just spent 4 hours editing my fishing video. Like, what is going on? Why does no one like my video? It has 0 views. It has 2 views. No one likes or doesn't like your video because no one saw it. No one knows it exists. And that's the biggest thing for smaller channels to understand.
All right, then. So Leron and Dan have obviously chosen the most obvious ones, leaving that a little tricky with me. But I guess the reason you have done is because YouTube, if you search enough in the analytics, I think it's on the impressions to click-through rate funnel thing. And if you mouse over a certain part, YouTube does actually state, YouTube will suggest your videos more if you have a higher click-through rate and higher average view duration. So it's pretty obvious, and that's pretty obvious, and that allows you for free advertising. So what I would also look at here is, and I call this the channel cadence or resting heartbeat of your channel. And this is where you're in the middle of a week, you publish a video maybe on Saturday, and then you're on Wednesday, and you look at your view counts for the channel. Let's say it's maybe like 250 for the day. And then in a month's time, you look at the view counts on the Wednesday again when you haven't published any videos. And is it still the same? Or are you now getting like 350 views a day when you're not necessarily publishing anything? And that's what I call like your resting heartbeat. Where is the channel on average every single day? And I remember, Leron, I was speaking to you about this last year when we met up, and you were sort of like really struggling about whether your channel was doing better or worse. You'd had this really big boost with your Wi-Fi content. And I said to you, look at where you were in January. Mm-hmm. You were at like, say, I don't know, let's say 5,000 views a day. Then you went through this period where you were really viral and you were getting like 20,000 views a day. And then you went back down to maybe like 9,000 or 8,000 views a day. And like you were really struggling with that. And I was saying, yeah, but look at where you've come from, like as an average. And I think that's what people need to appreciate as well. Like, is your channel as a whole growing? And are you building a community that way? So that's the like other metric I kind of keep an eye on as well. And I do that because almost vidIQ has forced me to do that with the real-time stats bar, you know, the views per hour on the channel. That is a figure that I just am always looking at. And we've kind of gone through this a little bit in the last couple of months, whereby I think between May and June, the channel was getting like 4,000 views an hour because we were really taking off because a lot of people were at home. They were looking to start YouTube channels. And now, as the world has opened up, which is obviously a very good thing, our channel's suffering a little bit. We're down to maybe, you know, like 3,000 views per hour or 2,500 views per hour. And I know some people are saying, probably in the chat now, I would love to have that many views per hour. But, you know, we were the same when we were a smaller channel, or even if we're an even bigger channel. We'll know that there's peaks and troughs where your channel does better and sometimes it does worse. And I think you've got to consider that in your patient mindset as you continue to grow as a creator. We also have to consider as well here, earlier on, that YouTube will be also here in 45 days, unlike other platforms.
I don't know what you're talking about. but guys, as we're going through this, as you know, people are listening to us on the live chat here or people are listening on the podcast, you'll notice that we give similar advice, but with a different point of view. And I think that's very important to understand that we have three creators here. We all treat the platform slightly different depending on where we are in the journey. Rob has got the biggest channel out of all of us. He runs the vidIQ channel. He's got, on the way to getting that beautiful button that we shall not be named, but it's not the one I've got on my wall here. It's the other color. And Rob's going to look at it very differently to someone who is perhaps just got 100 views. Maybe there's not enough data in your channel. Maybe there's not enough information. This is why people get frustrated by listening to the experts, because you're taking somebody's advice that's coming from a very different point. So I just wanted to be clear about that. Listen to all the advice, but we're not saying to you, go and cut out your intro. We're not saying to you, go create a second channel. There isn't a yes, no, right, wrong answer. You've got to listen to it, but you've got to apply it to your channel. Don't go chasing every shiny object because you think the next object is going to be the one that skyrockets your channel. So I think it's important for us to maybe tell the audience about some things that we see consistently in our channel audits or from people that are complaining, saying, I've listened to you, I've done everything, but nothing's actually working. We go and see that channel and instantly a couple of things pop up. Dan, what are kind of maybe one or two things that you would very quickly see on a channel and go, no, man, of course you haven't, because you haven't done what is the blank?
Well, I mean, I know you just got done saying, you know, I know we're the experts and we're telling you, you know, do X, Y, Z, but it's different for everybody. But I will say one of the frustrating things we see over and over again in vidIQ channel audits is that someone will inevitably say, I've been waiting for my channel audit for months, you know, and we get over 1,000 submissions every single week. So obviously it's very difficult. It's like, it's kind of hard to get to everybody. You know, we do, you know, a handful of channels out of those submissions. So I've been waiting. I've been watching these streams and I have not seen my channel come up in months. But then what'll happen is they'll make a meme on Twitter that we'll really like. And so we'll audit their channel, which is another way you can get in there, by the way. And they'll leave that comment in the tweet. Like, I've been waiting for months. I hope this meme works. And the channel is making all the same mistakes that we see every single week over and over. And I think there's this, you know, there's a lot of general advice we can give that, you know, maybe won't work for everybody. We'll work for most people. It really depends on the channels we're looking at. So advice we would give to an animation channel will differ from advice we give to a gaming channel, but we do a lot of both of those. So we'll see a gaming channel frustrated by this, and then we'll, you know, look at it and go, well, you're doing everything that we say not to do, or you're just not doing, you're ignoring the advice we've given all these other gaming channels. And I think there's just this thing in people's minds that's like, I see what they're saying, but they need to look at my channel because I'm doing it different. And I bet if the vidIQ guys see my channel, they'll have different advice that pertains directly to me. Because so far, none of this advice is really cutting it. And then we get in there and we're like, okay, well, you need a channel banner. You have the default one right now. Your thumbnails are not custom thumbnails. Your titles are all two words long. And it's just, you know, I don't like being negative or deflating people or crushing any dreams. But we do give this same advice to a lot of these channels. And it's always the ones that are like, I've been waiting so long. I can't believe I'm finally going to get an audit. And we give it again. You know, we have to tell them once again, like, you got to do the thing. You're not doing the thing.
Rob, what do you think?
You know what it's like, Dan. So you're right. It's so somebody comes into the channel audit and they're like this. La 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 la. Oh, it's my channel. So they've just did not listened to anything until it's their channel and liked it. Well, we're just going to say the same thing we told everyone else because you weren't listening. Yep. So a good point there. I think ultimately when we get to our channel audits, we always fall upon the same thing. Like, I think it's 60% of the time we're focusing on the thumbnails, which just aren't up to scratch. And as Dan said, if nobody's clicking on it or watching the videos, then nothing else matters. And then probably 20-30% of the time it's channel focus. The creator's been too self-indulgent. They're making content that they want to make rather than paying attention to what a target audience might want to watch. And then when we get to the other 10% of what channels are doing wrong, that's where we get really excited and we're talking about something different and new, which might be really helpful to all sorts of creators. But yeah, I'd say that's my short answer to that.
You said something I want to jump on real quick. You just making content for yourself. Like, that was another regret I had. I would only do that. Like, this is the content I want to make. And again, it was playing games on the internet. Who doesn't want to do that? But the pivotal moment for me in YouTube was when I made videos for other people. You know, I can play games on my own time, you know, and it's easier to play them when I'm not recording and worrying about what I'm saying and how it looks, you know, and how, oh man, I got to cut that part out later. I better make a note. You know, I can play games on my own time, but if I'm going to bother to make a YouTube channel, I think the most important thing is to remember that I'm trying to provide value to somebody. Whether it's entertainment or teaching them how to do something, showing them something they may not have seen, reviewing a game, whatever it is, like, that was pivotal.
And let me jump back onto that, Dan, and say that that's why I think in the first three to six months of your YouTube journey, your first 25 to 50 videos, I would give you license to do that to begin with, to be a little self-indulgent, to maybe get that out of your system or learn the ropes of uploading to YouTube, filming, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So but once you have these foundations in place, then, yeah, Dan, we say, right, now start to think about how you're going to make this work for a YouTube audience.
The biggest mistake is not thinking about your viewer. Who is your viewer? What do they want? How old are they? Which country do they come in from? Why are they there on your channel? Most people do not have such a clear view of who their viewer is, who their avatar is. And therefore, you're trying to make content for everyone. And that's never a recipe for success. That's a recipe for disaster. Once you know who your avatar is, once you know who your viewer is, what do they want from you? Why are they there in the first place? Do they want short videos or long videos? Do they want about one topic or lots of topics? Do they like when you do tips or do they like when you do more entertainment stuff? Once you figure that out, that is when the channel really starts to take off, because now you're delivering value to a certain type of audience. YouTube picks up on that signal and now YouTube can help you. YouTube now tries to show your video to other people who meet that same criteria.
I just had the final thought of what happens when a creator has been on YouTube, and this happens occasionally when we audit channels, have been on YouTube for a number of years and have made probably hundreds of videos at this point, and there isn't any traction at all. Like, they're getting 2 views or 7 views or 10 views for every single video. Because you usually expect, even with any sort of channel, that they start to build some sort of momentum. Just it depends on the speed of others will grow faster than others. But occasionally we do see that those channels that sometimes are doing kind of the right things, but they're not growing at all for whatever reason. What do you think about those creators? I guess my short answer to that would be there's always exceptions to the type of rules that we're saying. Like sometimes there are some channels that will just explode inexplicably. And then there are some channels which are doing the right things, but for some bizarre reason, they're just not getting the traction that you would expect them to get.
Okay, nobody's going to want to hear this bit. But, okay, I'll be the bearer of bad news. Maybe it's the content. At the end of the day, people want to watch good quality content. And as much as we give you these tips and tricks and how-tos, there's one signal we can't help you with is how good your video is. That's what YouTube looks for. YouTube wants to know that you have good quality video that it would like to distribute. YouTube wants to help you succeed. But sometimes we're just not helping YouTube to do that because we're so busy trying to make quantity of videos which are just not that great. YouTube is getting all the wrong signals and therefore it doesn't push out those videos. We have seen time and time again, especially on the live stream that I do, where somebody does do that and they're making the same mistakes that they make in every single video. They're just not learning from their own experiences. And if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So if you have a template and you keep on using the same template and that template doesn't work, you can't expect new videos to pop. I do think at the end of the day, amazing quality content will be discovered and rewarded.
It should be. Ultimately and eventually.
Ultimately. And especially when you said, because the magic words that you said that was over a period of time. It's not like they did it for a month. They've done it for a year plus. They've put up lots of videos. You would think by now, some sort of a signal would have triggered. And if it hasn't, it's the content, I'm afraid. Sorry.
I personally know a channel that fits exactly what Rob described, like to a T. And what I was just observing, you know, they never asked for advice, so I never gave them any, but they made a habit of playing games that no one ever heard of. And I think the strategy there was to play games that, you know, could get discovered one day and might blow up and they'll be there first, you know, which is for a variety gaming channel, not a bad strategy, you know, but it's a gamble. Every single video you make is a gamble. And the other thing they would do is they would make 20 episodes of that one thing that was getting one or two views. And I think that what that does is like it messes you up even more, because instead of making one video where you review the game, you know, such and such game review, you know, first look, whatever you got to say, and then move on, like that would have been a better method. But this person made 20, 30, 40, 50 videos and just did a deep dive doing walkthroughs and stuff, and two views, four views, you know. And there was one or two instances in their time on YouTube where I saw them blow up, where I saw like suddenly a video would get thousands of views. And inevitably it was always the first episode of something, because that's people kind of look for that first take, that first look. And it was never repeatable because the game kind of, you know, the player of the game, the YouTuber, already ran their course with it. They were done, you know? So that literally happens. People just get so focused. They get tunnel vision. And this person always used the same formula, just like Leron said. They never really changed their template at all. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You need to test what you're doing. That's why I like to look at my impressions and my click-through rate. If the videos aren't getting any impressions, or they're getting impressions and not clicked on, it's time to keep testing and playing with different titles and perhaps different types of content. Maybe you just playing a game isn't enough. Keep reviewing the game, give tips, show people where they can download it. Some games are so niche and so weird that it's kind of hard to download them. They're not all on Steam. So, you know, there's always opportunities to cover games from different angles. And I think that's just something a lot of gaming creators don't realize. And going back to another thing I said earlier, provide value to people. You know, it was really fun for this person to sit there and just play the game, but where's the value in that for the audience?
So content. Think about your audience, think about your viewer, understand how you're delivering. Can you improve on that delivery? Well, listening is one thing, but you've got to take action. You have to do the doing part. Just by saying yes, I heard you, but well, the more buts that you put into here, or the less opportunity you have to actually succeed on the platform. Now that you have all this vast knowledge of information at your fingertips, share this episode with at least one other creator who's perhaps equally as frustrated as you are. Take action. Take actions together. Hold each other accountable. check each other's channels, see if you're actually doing what we say you're supposed to be doing, and take your channel to that next level. Thank you for hanging out with us on another episode of Tube Talk, and we'll catch you on the next one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.